Uh-oh. Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to part two of what's going to be a very powerful, unique series of Julie Ostrop. I didn't say it right, Julie. Say it right for me
You said
again.
it correctly, Glenn.
Ostrop.
Got
Okay,
it.
perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. If you recall, our first discussion was on TED Talks, and we talked about her photography business and how it's making a difference in women over 50 to have good work done. We want to continue that discussion. Then we're going to have a third discussion when her book is released. But I want to continue that discussion. Julie, how have you been?
I've been great. How have you been, Glenn?
Doing absolutely great. No complaints. I want to make sure I get this one light out of my face here. I think that might help us. All right, that should help. But doing great. Can't complain. I've actually been more aware of women over 50 and some of the challenges that they have, especially when you consider a lot of women over 50 are accomplished in their careers. Tell us why is this such a focus for you?
Well, I'm over 50 myself, is part of it. However, the focus for me really was born out of this portrait project that I started about a year and a half ago. I started it at the beginning of the pandemic, and it was to celebrate women who are 50 plus and fabulous. And what I realized is that a lot of women, excuse me, have so much to offer, women who are 50 and better, as I like to say, and we're not really seen. We're not seen in the media as much as women of other ages, as much as men either. We're not seen in, sometimes even out in public. I think I mentioned that last time. And so my idea is really to bring awareness to this, and then also say that it is our responsibility as women over 50 to say, you know what? I'm not going to hide anymore. I have a lot to offer. I have a lot to celebrate, and I want to be seen and I want to be heard. Because a lot of times we, women over 50, are saying, oh no, I don't want to be in front of the camera. Oh no, just the kids. We live in a very visual world. And to be seen, we also need to see ourselves. So.
Well, I want you to tell us a little bit more about this concept of not seeing, because on the surface, this kind of hard to follow. I think I kind of understand what you mean, but tell us a little bit more about not seeing, and then I want to dive a little bit deeper into some other things.
Well, if you take a look in our media, in our, American culture media, women over 50, there's not a lot of magazines, newspapers, TV coverage, any place where we consume media, women over 50 are not, we're not out there that much. We're not shown as being all of the things that we are, which are all of the same things that all of us are. I believe we all have a lot to offer and a lot to share. So, yeah.
All right, so we're not women over 50 not putting that out there. They're not stepping forward in some regards, and they're not being accepted in some regards, what you're saying?
Think that we're accepted. I feel like that we're overlooked, and I think some of that, maybe all of that, let me say all of that
Okay.
is our responsibility. That is our responsibility to say, yes, I'm worthy of being seen. I'm worthy of, sharing. I have a lot to offer. And for us to show up consistently.
Well, okay, so that is our responsibility, but isn't society kind of shaping this? I mean, I was looking at a research project on that chef show called Top Chef, and there's no one over 35 years old as a contestant on that show. It took them about 8 to 10 years. I think, well, I take that back. I don't remember the exact statistics, but after season 18, they only had maybe four winners that were women.
Wow.
And by the way, only one African-American man as a winner after 18 years of being on.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's, is that what you're kind of saying? We're not being seen, but that the society is setting that up where television only has women 35 or under. And unless, of course, they have millions of dollars to pay for the surgery and the things like that to keep their face looking like they're 35 or under.
Right.
Is that what you mean by, is that, I don't know, I guess what I'm asking you, isn't society created, didn't society create that? Isn't society responsible for that?
I think society has created some of it, but I also have seen and had experience with a lot of women who say, I don't want to be photographed. I don't want to, you know, I'm just going to take the picture of my children, or I'm just going to take the picture of my children and my grandchildren. And it starts, you're absolutely right, it starts younger than 50, but I feel like it's our responsibility to say, no, we are worthy of being seen. And there are women in upper management, in, you know, politics, in lots of different areas of our culture that we need to say, yes, we deserve to be seen. We deserve to step up and be noticed and have our seat at the table as well.
Help us walk through this process of we deserve. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's an internal process. Like I said, that's the responsibility of women, of men, yes. Really, to say we deserve.
Yes.
Your photography, that starts that process, but walk us through that process a little bit more of how a woman can discover we deserve. Put yourself in a position, well, you are in the position of running a large company, and you're the CEO of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Coach yourself or who of the imaginary person through that position.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling out that we deserve, because I don't feel that it is a... you know, it's just like, oh, because I'm over 50, I need to be recognized and I need to be. What I believe that it is, you know, to your point, for each woman to say, I have the right to show up and to be seen and to be heard in a way that is in line with who I am, what my values are, and what I have to offer. And Glenn, to your point, I think it's very much an internal process, because there has been, you know, through, you know, probably thousands of years, there's been this idea that if we're in a certain, you know, age range or sector, that we are valuable. And overcoming that and saying, as an individual, saying, I want to be seen, I want to be heard, because I still have a lot to offer. Because, you know, being over 35 or over, you know, over 50, I still have a lot of living to do. And I feel like this is the best time of my life, for sure.
Well, I think a lot of folks do, but you had, you did some things that created that for yourself early on in life. And, well, like your travels. No, you created that for yourself. You took the responsibility to do that. I guess I'm kind of asking, if you put yourself in the shoes of a 55-year-old woman right now, maybe she's a senior leader in the company, but she hasn't had that type of experience.
Well, I think that there's a process, an internal process of if a woman who's over 50 hasn't had experiences in her life that she feels are valuable, or that she feels are worthy of sharing, to really dig deep and say, what is it that I have to offer? Because it doesn't have to be only the way that I do it. It can be the way that anybody does it.
Okay.
Yeah, it can be however it is. It can be raising a family. It can be having a big career. It can be, you know, being a politician, being an educator. There are lots of ways to serve and lots of ways to really shine in the world.
Tell us again about this process of the photography, how you saw that really changing the portraits, changing women, to get them to kind of say, yeah, I deserve to be seen. I am special. Tell us about that process. Why did that work so well?
Well, I feel like what happened is that There's a, and I believe I mentioned this before, but there's a clip that I created that is on my website. And I know you've got the links to all of those things, but there's a clip on my website. I spoke with a woman who really did not feel beautiful in her own skin where she was going through cancer treatment. And when she saw the photographs of herself, she realized, I'm going to call it the spark within her, you know, her deepest essence, her worthiness of being and showing up and being seen. So I saw that over and over again in big ways. Like I said, she was willing to do a video clip for me, but I also saw it in ways where women during this project saw themselves in a way that was different than they'd seen themselves in the past. And whether it was powerful or beautiful or sexy or, you know, worthy in some way that they hadn't realized before. So that was pretty remarkable.
That is a process. Is there a process inside of the portrait? I mean, are you having them dressed in a certain way? Are you having them create a certain attitude while you're snapping the pictures? Are you doing anything inside the session, the studio session?
I am. And thank you for asking that, Glenn. It's funny because I did have a woman here with her family. She came with her adult daughters as well as her adult grandchildren. So she's probably in her 70s or 80s. Oh, and it starts before the session starts. It starts creating trust, getting to know people before their session, getting to know the women, who they are, what they want, and how they want to be seen in a portrait, and building that trust in a consultation that I have with people. So this woman who came in with her family, with her adult women daughters, and then adult woman granddaughter, and as they're getting ready and having makeup done and, you know, just really feeling beautiful and pampered, this woman, this is funny, and this is a quote. She said, "I have never had a portrait taken like this before." She said, "It's always been at church, and it's been wham, bam, thank you, ma'am." And nobody wants that. Nobody likes that. You know, that's like the fast food edition of, you know, having a portrait made is a vulnerable experience. And I think people don't realize that. And so taking the time beforehand to really get to know someone and to really build that trust so that a woman can show up authentically and feel safe and say, I can show who I am in a way that's safe and in a very, a very contained environment here at my studio.
Okay.
Safety. Yeah. I saw the aha for you.
Well, part of the reason why that hit the aha for me, growth happens best in a safe environment.
Yes.
We can talk about it from a business perspective, from a personal development perspective, whatever perspective you want to talk about it from, growth will happen best in a safe environment. And safety often means trust. That person has to have trust in you. She had to have trust in her daughters and granddaughters.
Yes.
To take that picture. And she had to kind of just realize she was safe so she could take that step.
Yes.
And that's a very important thing. I guess my concern, though, is that we're missing the point a little bit. And I'm going to say it from kind of maybe a negative perspective. We men miss that point. You know, if I can do it at 60 plus, why can't you do it? Why can't they do it? It's a mental game.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
But that seems a short circuit and not be completely truthful. Because now we as men or we as celebrities, not we as celebrities, but celebrities might all be saying, well, I did it, you do it. All you got to do is change the way you think. But that's not how it's built, is it?
Well, I think there's part of that. All you have to do is change the way you think. That's true. And it's going it's not all you have to do is, as you know, it's changing a mindset. It is saying, okay, this is what I used to believe, or this is what I believe, and saying, what if I was open to the possibility of wanting something more for myself, or that I don't have to go along with the cultural norm that a woman over 50 has to have surgery, have facelifts, be famous, whatever that story is that we as women or any woman has told themselves about showing up and being seen and being beautiful and powerful, whatever that is to them. It doesn't have to be the societal norm of, you know, fitting in this box, then you're able to be seen or able to be heard.
You know what a key word you just said, fitting into the box.
Right.
Maybe it's time we all break out of the box a little bit and get out. Well, because the box says 35 is the oldest you can be, or whatever arbitrary number they want to give. You know, you get to a certain point, you know, the box says you can't take a beautiful picture anymore, but you can. You can still be powerful. You're probably, like you said, way more powerful at 50 than what you were in your 20s or 25s or 30s. Probably way more powerful, a lot more wisdom there. Now, I want to ask you about your upcoming book. I know that's not quite out yet. What are you going to teach in that book?
Oh, I'm so excited about this book. So this book that it's a collaborative book process. And what it is it's a collection of women who are 50 plus and fabulous. And it is a collaborative book, like I said, with portraits of women that I am photographing, as well as sharing our stories of inspiration, celebration, and empowerment. Because there are a lot of us that are doing things that are maybe against societal norms. And look how we're showing up and look what we're doing. And my hope and dream is that it will be a resource for women to say, oh, look what this woman's doing. How great is that? Look what this woman's doing. How awesome is that? And say, if she, you know, different people, we're going to resonate differently. And we're going to share our stories and share the images of who we are and say, and inspire and celebrate, you know, inspire and celebrate.
It sounds like such a great concept, because what we're saying with that concept is everybody is a leader, as a thought leader, and this person may resonate with you while this person may resonate with you. But you're going to hear different stories about, and then one or two of them are going to resonate with you, or all of them are going to resonate with you. It's a great way to help people learn without really learning, because they get involved with the stories, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that's powerful. So that's how you're going to go about it. What's 1-2 points in the book? I mean, well, better yet, give away one great story that's going to be in the book. Without giving all the details that's going to be in the book, because we want people to buy that book when it comes out. But tell us one great story that's going to be there.
One great story. Well, truthfully, we have not started the writing process yet. We are still in the gathering stage of gathering women together to really see who wants to be part of this, who wants to be in the book, who wants to share their story? What are the stories that need to be told? I can share, and again, I don't know if this woman will share this story, but I know one of the women who is choosing to be an author, to be one of our collaborative participants, is a Navy veteran, has served in the armed forces, has been a teacher, and has now started a nonprofit to really help women show up in our community. So there are a lot of really inspiring women, and but I don't know which stories they're going to tell. And I think, Glenn, that's one of the really beautiful things, is we have this very deep, very rich, you know, thing, experiences that we can distill down to share with the world. and really have an impact.
I want to hold your feet to the fire while knocking you off balance. I just kind of was thinking when you're sharing that part, we may have some people who didn't hear the very first part who haven't heard your TED Talk yet. And that was inspiring to me. Your story is inspiring to me.
Oh, thank you.
So share us a little bit about your story.
The story that I shared in my TED Talk?
Yes, please.
Because I have other stories too.
No, let's do the TED Talk one. That way we get people to go back and listen to who haven't, and then maybe we do another. So, but let's talk about that story, because that's the one that I heard that said, you know what, that should resonate with a lot of people. Share that with us.
Thank you. Well, my story, you know, when a story begins, who knows? But my story, one of the beginnings, started when, oh my goodness, I got to, hold on, something on my computer just popped up. I apologize for that.
No, that's good.
So part of my story is that I was working as a high school counselor, and across my computer screen flashed an email that said, you know, sabbatical applications are opened. And I thought, this is something I wanted to do. I wanted to live overseas for a long time. Long story short, I applied and was accepted to live in Spain. I worked in a community that had a lot of Spanish speakers, and I really wanted to, you know, dive deep into that. While I was living in Spain, I found out about the Camino de Santiago. And the Camino de Santiago, for people who don't know, is an ancient pilgrimage. It's historical, cultural, really, it was an incredible experience for me. And so I decided to walk for 3 weeks on the Camino de Santiago, which is a pilgrim's journey across northern Spain. And I wanted to do it for the experience. I didn't really know what to expect, but at the time I was running marathons. I thought, okay, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be a hike. I'm going to meet people from all over the world. And that absolutely happened.
Right.
The big thing that happened that I shared in my TED Talk was I was one day after walking probably 12 to 15 miles, I found myself in an albergue in the middle of northern Spain. And the owner, the innkeeper, an albergue is similar. It's kind of a cross between an Airbnb and a hostel, something like that. Okay. And so he's a Spanish man, and I was the only person in our group who spoke Spanish as well as English. And he asked, would you and your fellow pilgrims like a pilgrim's mass? And I said yes, knowing that absolutely everybody would want to have a pilgrim's mass. He had permission from the local priest. So we walked down to this temple, down this little dirt path, into what looked like an ancient pagan temple, you know, the kind that I saw in my high school history books. Never had seen anything like this before. Yeah. And we walk in, and it's modern day, you know, in the last 2000 years, Christian church. And he starts saying mass, and he's talking in Spanish, and I understand, and the words are washing over me. And as I'm sitting there on these hard pews, I hear the sweetest song in the most beautiful voice, singing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. And tears start pouring down my cheeks. And I knew this song was for me, but I also thought that, well, I wasn't really thinking. I was experiencing this magnificent event. And when the mass was over, I started taking some photographs of the church because it's a beautiful place and I wanted to remember, like I wasn't going to remember.
Yeah.
This is going to be an experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I walked to the back, and my friend who I was traveling with, I said to him, I said, Tobias, thank you for singing Amazing Grace. He was sang in his choir at home in Germany, and he looks at me, he says, I wasn't singing Amazing Grace, Julie. And I said, but you heard it, you heard Amazing Grace. And he said, nope, nobody was singing Amazing Grace. And then the tears started coming more and more because I knew that that song was for me and it's what I needed to hear. That I have so much to offer, that I, you know, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. Whatever my mistakes are in the past, it's okay. Where you're going, you know, your future is what's important. And you deserve to shine and you deserve to live the life that you've imagined. And so it was this incredible experience for me. And I came back and decided that I wanted to obviously share that in a TED Talk, but I also wanted to live the life that I had and have imagined. And doing what I do now, it took a while to, you know, kind of figure out, well, how is that going to work? What's that going to look like as a photographer? Because I've been a photographer since I was in high school, but I didn't really see how I could connect it with having an impact and making a difference for people, because that's always been something that's important to me. As I mentioned, I was working as a high school counselor. You know, and that to me was a pretty easy, like, oh yeah, I'm going to have an impact and I'm going to make a difference in people's lives in that way.
Yep. And you did.
Yeah. And now I'm able to do it in a different way. So,
you know, there's a lot of lessons there. And one lesson that kind of stands out, and I just want to get your thought on this.
Yeah.
Because there's been more and more thinking, more and more writings and research saying that we need to stop thinking about some of our decisions and start feeling our decisions.
Oh my gosh.
And that's one of the lessons that you went through. You said, I didn't want to think about the experience. I just was feeling the experience. And therefore that might have opened you up to a much larger level of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I know there's somebody sitting there saying, oh, that's woo-woo, but there's a lot of research now saying that the strongest thinking muscle is that feeling muscle that's in your solar plexus.
Absolutely.
That brain there. How do you feel about that? Is that just woo-woo kind of stuff? Or do you think feel that that's more appropriate?
So interestingly, living in Spain, one of the phrases that Spaniards use, that my experience was, instead of saying, because you just said, Glenn, and then you changed it, you said, well, how do you think about that? What do you feel? And one of the things that when I was in Spain, before I walked on the Camino de Santiago, one of the phrases that Spaniards use is, creo que, I believe, instead of pienso que, I think that. So that belief, I feel, is much more powerful than, much more powerful, equally as powerful, I believe this, and that comes from our heart and from our gut. And I believe that I know that there is a lot of research out now that says that our heart and our gut and our brain all work together to create our human experience. And there's a lot of wisdom in all of those places.
I like that. They work together to create our human experience, Wow, yeah. I like that. That's good. So now if I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm going to start making sure that I'm seen, and I want to go ahead and, do the photography work and do all the different type of work. Photography work, why do you feel that's so important?
Well, I'm a photographer.
Okay.
It has been a passion of mine since I was very, very young. And part of the reason that I know it's important, nearly 90% of the information that comes in through our sensory perception is visual. And to be able to see that which we are in a photograph.
Oh, that explains so much.
It's very, very powerful. And there are days I had my first portrait taken in a very long time, 4 or 5 years ago. And I have it large, not super huge. Excuse me. about 20 by 24. And it's in my studio. And I see it every single day. And every single day, it reminds me of who I am, that essence of who I am. I see myself in my very, on my very best day, you know, and it might not be like the very best day of my life. I have lots of really great days in my life, but being able to see that portrait that portrays me as my very best self reminds me that that's who I am and that every day I can be extraordinary. I can choose every day to be ordinary or extraordinary. And I choose to be extraordinary. That's what I want. That's where I'm going. That's who I am. And that visual reminder is there, that cue.
That is so powerful in so many different ways. And I think about some of the work they've done on how you can take your body and put your body in a certain posture to feel that way before your day gets started.
Yes.
Why not just look at yourself already doing that that way?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful. And when you do consider that 90% of your information comes to you visually, maybe there should be a whole lot less than that. I'm thinking of Yoda, you know, the eyes can deceive you, don't trust them. But if you have a picture of yourself in a very powerful place, your mind will go back and live that place.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if you have a woman who's 50 plus, it might be difficult for them to remember. You said this earlier, you talked about it. It might be difficult for them to remember what they contribute and how they have made a difference. Do you have a way to help people kind of understand, you know, this is what I've done. This is what I can do. This is the difference I can make in this world. This is why I'm powerful, why I have so much more to give.
Absolutely. And for me, like I mentioned before, that starts with a consultation and it starts mm-hmm. with a series of questions. I have a natural curiosity for human, it's just a natural interest in human beings and who they are and, you know, what they're about. And so asking those questions and to really dive deep with them and say, well, how do you want to be seen? What is it that is your, you know, it can happen pretty quickly for me. Again, I've got a lot of training as a counselor and I'm naturally curious about human behavior and human emotion.
Mm.
So really asking those questions.
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
And building trust with people. So
that makes a big difference. I hadn't really thought about your skills as a counselor. Now, I know one of your big projects is your book, but what else are you doing right now?
Well, now that the pandemic's over, I've been traveling a bit and I'm continuing to create community and build my business and to grow. So I've got some training coming up where I'm really honing my portrait skills. I believe absolutely in, you know, continuing to grow and continuing to have professional development so that I can continue to inspire, celebrate, and empower others. So yeah, so I've got a little bit of travel with some training mixed in there. So yeah,
that's
phenomenal.
That's interesting in a way. And I think this is part of the reason why us over 50 are a little bit more powerful than those under 50. We know we still need to personal develop. At least a lot of us, some of us know. We know that we still need to get better at giving a podcast, at doing photography, at being in front of a room. And we take that training. We have our coaches to do that. You're the coach that's going to help women really break back out and really start to be seen again.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's my mission. That's where I am.
Tell us about your traveling. Are you traveling to like different events and talking to people about this or... Your travels, do you get to support people in your photography business when you travel?
I do, actually. I'm headed to Phoenix for an accreditation and, as I mentioned, really up-leveling my photography skills, really becoming better and better because I believe that's another way to have impact. And so after, in fact, after the conference, I'm photographing a woman in Phoenix and we're going to do some business branding for her. She also wants to be part of the book. Okay. So yeah, I get to do that as part of my travels. And I believe too, the one-on-one conversations, I also continue to do some public speaking. And so I've got a course that I'm talking tomorrow to a group of women that's called Why Wow, Why Now? And I believe that this is a really powerful time in our history, you know, coming out of the pandemic, coming out of a lot of the things that we have been through in the last year and a half, as a way to say, you know, this is a time for us. This is a time that we really want and need to show up if we want to have an impact. And this is going to be a defining decade, Glenn, you know, for people like you and I who are saying, yes, let's move ahead. Let's share our vision. Let's, you know, have an impact. Let's do what we want to do.
I have a question that I'm asking this for a specific reason, and I'm going to break it out of this podcast and share it, depending on what your answer is. Have you ever considered going to some of these trade shows and associations and sharing your message, why now? Maybe that message, and then allowing women to come back that evening ready to take have their portraits done. Have you ever considered doing something like that?
I have considered doing something like that. Absolutely. I would love to do that. I would love to be on stage and sharing the message of now is the time. Yes. And, you know, grab the ring and let's go. So yes, absolutely. I would be thrilled to participate in an event like that, to do some speaking and then to photograph women and show them who they are.
No, I asked that for a couple reasons. Biggest reason I asked that for is for the meeting planners that are starting to join in on this now.
Oh, awesome.
This is something they need to hear. So, of course, all your contact information will be in the description so they can contact and reach out. But talking about breaking out of the box, you know, getting out of the box, that's a powerful piece right there, I would think, that you could present to people and say, here's how you get out of the box. Here's why, wow, and why now. And you want portraits done? Let's do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's do it. That'd be great. That'd be great. I asked you this on our TED Talk. Now I ask you now. So you should be prepared for this question.
Okay.
What question should I have asked you that I did not ask you?
I should be prepared for this, shouldn't I, Glenn?
Yes. Yes, you should.
Maybe the question would be, how can people find out more about the 50 and Fabulous book project?
That is a great question I didn't ask. Tell us more.
People can find out about it. I can share a link with you. It's 50 Plus and Fabulous. And also on my website, which my information is, I know that you will have that, my website has information about the portrait project. And so anybody can contact me if they're interested in the portrait project, and we can also create they can be part of the book project. Yeah. So Perfect. Just to clarify, and maybe this would be another question, women can choose to be part of the 50 and Fabulous portrait project and not be part of the book project. To be part of the book project, they also need to be part of the portrait project. So I hope that's clear.
Well, what you're saying is either you sit down for the portrait by itself or you sit down for the portrait and the book.
Yes, that's right. Okay.
That's so perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to read it when it comes out. And when it comes out, we'll read it. We'll share it. I have a funny feeling that we can take one or two stories per episode and talk about it and talk about the lessons and break them apart. Are you planning on doing any other TEDx or TED Talk speeches in the near future?
I don't have any TED Talks in my hopper right now.
Okay. Me either.
Well, that's funny. I was going to ask you if you're thinking of doing another TED Talk. No. I am considering applying to The Moth.
Oh, tell us about that real quick.
Well, it's more of a storytelling platform. So I'm thinking about sharing a story. I think that it's due today or tomorrow to what story I'm going to share. And I have a few. Recently, I'll just give a little, if that's okay. I am recovering, and I'm going to show you this. I'm recovering from a broken shoulder.
Good movement there. Yeah.
I broke my shoulder 8 weeks ago. It was super.
That's a fast recovery.
Yes. And it super kind of a freak accident. And so I'm thinking of talking about break to breakthrough as, so we'll see. We'll see. It's not all created yet, but yeah.
You know, you're good at coming up with titles. Maybe I should come to you for some title help. But break the breakthrough. And first thing, congratulations on the fast recovery. My ex-wife had surgery, and still 16 weeks later, she's still having problems with movement. So,
yeah. And I didn't need surgery, luckily.
Oh, okay. So she had to have shoulder surgery, and although it was orthoscopic, she still had a long recovery. But you moved around. You're moving really good. That's fast.
That's what my doctor said. Thank you, Dr. Glenn.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yay me. No. I only pretend to be a doctor on my podcast, right?
Perfect. It's your podcast.
Yeah. So I'm glad I do. Perfect. We will do this again. You're one of the most engaging people who has a lesson to learn. So we'll do this again. And I hope that some of our meeting planners that are listening in reach out to you. I think that's
perfect. That would be fantastic.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. I would love that.
Fantastic. Well, Julie, thank you so much. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Glenn. It's been a pleasure as always.
Okay.